Today's shiur is Masecht Beis Daf Chaf Vav, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. The halacha is that if somebody has a kosher animal and its firstborn baby is a male, that animal is considered a bechor. And the halacha is that Bezman Shebeis Hamidosh HaYakayim, that animal was brought to the Mizbeach as a carbon, and then the Kohanim eat from that carbon. If the animal developed a mum, a permanent mum, the halacha is that it could be that it's slaughtered and eaten anywhere, given to the Kohanim, and he could eat it anywhere. Bizman hazeh, where we unfortunately don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we can't bring the Bechor as a carbon, and furthermore, of course, we can't bring kachim b'chutz. The halacha is that all animals which are b'char, we need to wait until it develops a mum, and then when it develops a mum, the kohen could be slaughtered and eaten. A b'char that has a mum cannot be declared as a bal mum until somebody who is a chacham, somebody who's an expert and has smicha, that he can make that determination, makes that determination, and then it becomes and it gets the status of a bal mum. If a kohen were to shecht a bechor on the assumption that it's a bal mum, and afterwards only show it to the chacham, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter, because at the end of the day there was a psak from the chacham that it was a bal mum. According to a mayor, no. Since it was slaughtered without the express permission of this mumcha, the halacha is that that animal may not be eaten. So Amishta begins to discuss what would be the halacha with a bechor bezman hazeh that has a mum, and the mum was not shown to the chacham before yontif. And the question that our Mishnah discusses is what can be done with this Bechor. Says the Mishnah Bechor, the Bechor Bezman Azeb that had a mum before Yontif, but they never showed this animal to the Chacham before Yontif. And now on Yontif, Nofal, the bar, this animal fell into the bar. And as we just said, we may not shecht this animal until the Chacham paskins that it's a bal mum. So now, what are we allowed to do? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yered Mumcha, the Mumcha who is an expert in this area, should go into the bar to see if it's a mum kavua and viyira, and he should look at it and make that determination. Im yesh be mum, and if it has a mum, and it was a mum that was there, as we said, from before Yontif, the halach is yalav yishchot. Even though before Yontif we were not yet aware what would be the status of this animal, still the Mishnah is paskening that we can make this determination on Yontif, because since, as we said, this question already came up from before Yontif, and therefore, since the question already came up before Yontif, this person was under the assumption that the Rav, the Chacham may paskin that's a bal mum, and therefore, that's good enough that it's not considered a bal mum. That's considered a bal mum, and it could be slaughtered and eaten like all meat. Vim laf, but if it's not a mum kavua, lo yishchot, you're not allowed to shecht the bechor, because you're not allowed to eat it. And since you're not allowed to eat it, shechting it or even bringing it up would be a tircha shaloi l'tzayruch, and a tircha shaloi l'tzayruch is not permitted on Yontif. Rav Shimon's opinion is that if it was not determined before Yontif that this animal is a bamum, then on Yontif it's muksa. And what we see from here is a concept that we've discussed many times. Many times we say, Rav Shimon, lesley muksa. Rav Shimon is the mandamer that's lenient in Hilchas Muksa. Yet here in our Mishnah, we say that he's Machmer. So how do we understand that Rav Shimon is specifically one that's Muksa? So Rashi says that the reason Rav Shimon is Machmer in our Mishnah is not because of Muksa. But Rashi explains, because Nirukim Asaknoi, that you're looking like you're changing the status of an animal, which is something we're not allowed to do on Yontif. Another explanation Rashi gives is that the halach is that we're not allowed to have a din tyra on Yontif. And since we're not allowed to have a din tyra on Yontif, the mumcha, deciding that this animal is about mum, is in that category. The Tosfos in the Ran have a different pshat. They say that Rav Shimon holds that we're not allowed to look at mumim on Yontif. And here they say Rav Shimon holds that it's muksum. And it goes back to the concept that we've mentioned so many times. It's not that Rav Shimon absolutely does not hold of Hilchus Muksa. He has different applications. And in this case, since it's Yontif, we go back to a concept we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that in certain ways, Muksa and Yontif is stricter than Muksa all year round. That's why Rav Shimon in our Mishnah is Machmer. What does the Mishnah mean when it says Kol Shein Mumanikar? So sort of the Sefer told us, Yaakov says that Rav Shimon is coming to teach us that Kol, that even if somebody went and examined this animal on Yontif, it will, and he determined that it's a Balmum, it's not going to be effective. And even what the Mishnah is teaching us, even if it was an obvious Mum, it was a large obvious Mum, it doesn't make a difference. If it wasn't identified and declared a Balmum from before Yontif, Rav Shimon holds, it may not be eaten under any circumstances on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, but my Kamifli, what is the basis of the Machloikis of Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon? In the Meroyim, Mumun Kamifli, if the Machloikis is, if we're allowed, if a Chochem is allowed to look at a Bechor, at a Balmum on Yontif, Rav Yehuda's of a Roy Mumun Beyontif, Rav Yehuda's opinion is that we may, Rav Shimon ain't Roy Mumun Beyontif, and Rav Shimon's opinion is that we may not. So why does the Mishnah have to speak about a case of the bar of the Bechor that fell into the bar? For Lifuki, the Roy Mumun, they should have just argued about what is the halacha about if we're allowed to look at a Mum. Why does the Mishnah have to be put in the framework that it fell into the bar and then discuss it? So the Pnei Yeshua asks, maybe the reason the Mishnah specifically spoke about the bar, about the Bechor that fell into the bar, is because Rabbi Yehuda, under normal circumstances, maybe would not be lenient. And the only reason Rabbi Yehuda is lenient in our Mishnah is because this animal fell into the bar, and we have a situation of Tzar Baal Chaim. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda is Mekel, and Rabbi Shimon is still Machmer. But maybe under normal circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda would not be Mekel if it hadn't fell into the bar. So says the Pnei Yeshua, that if the Machloikus was strictly about Tzar Baal Chaim, it doesn't make sense that Rabbi Shimon should be Machmer. Because in other places in Shas, Rabbi Shimon is the mandom that holds Tzar Baal Chaim Doraisa. He's much more concerned about Tzar Baal Chaim. So for our Mishnah, the issue is Tzar Baal Chaim, the opinion that Rabbi Yehuda is Mekel and Rav Shimon is Machmer doesn't seem to make sense. And that's why the Gemara's question is, if it must be that the Machloikis says, are you allowed to look at a Mum on Yontif? But if that is the case, why did the Mishnah have to be speaking about a case that the Bechor fell in? Moreover, says the Sfas Emes, that if Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to look at a Mum on Yontif, and that the only reason he's being Mekel, perhaps in our Mishnah, is because Tzar Baal Chaim, so says the Sfas Emes, then Rabbi Yehuda would certainly hold that this animal is muksa. Since I'm not allowed to look at the animal, I'm not allowed to look at it, it became muksa. And once it's muksa, the halacha is that it should certainly be osur, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we keep on repeating, is the mandama that's much stricter in Hilchas Muksa. So it can't be that that's what the machlokes is about. Answers the Gemara, b'chor shenafel bal itzruch lei. The Mishnah had to specifically teach us this case. Salka dat chamina mishum tzar bal chayim, because the animal fell into the bar, la'arim, maybe he's allowed to do a harama. and assume that the Chochem certainly will find a mum, Veleske, and be allowed to take it out from the bor, according to Yehuda, even before the Chochem had a chance to look at it, Rav Yeshua, as we're going to find, Rav Yeshua discusses, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin and Aleph discusses the situation. We know that the Torah says, you're not allowed to shecht a mother and his child on the same day. Rav Yeshua says that if a mother and its baby fell into the bor, you could do the following haroma. You could take out the first animal and look at it and to see if it has, and say, well, I took it out because this is the animal I want to eat on Yontif. And then afterwards say, no, I changed my mind. This is not the animal I want to. Maybe the other animal is better. And like that, you would have been able to get out both animals from the bor. So we would think that by Bechor, Shenofel, Labor, we may do the same thing. And we could do this type of aroma and take out the first animal and then take out the animal and then only show it to the Rav. Kamash Milan. That's why Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though Rabbi Yehuda is being lenient, it's not going to be that lenient and allow you to do aroma. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason Rabbi Yeshua allowed us to do a haroma by Oises Benoi, because Oises Benoi, the reality is that each one of these animals may be slaughtered on Yontif. I just could decide which one I'm allowed to and which one I'm not allowed to. So I would think that's why Rabbi Yeshua is Mekel. But by a Bechor, until it has a Mum Kavua, you're not allowed to do anything with it. And that's why the halacha of the Bechor explains the Meiri is not the same as what the halacha of Yeshua said regarding Es Oisev Es Benoi. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's what the Yehuda is coming to teach us, why did Rabbi Yehuda say Vim Lav Ein Bei Mum La Yishchet, that if it turns out that when the Chacham looks at the animal, there's no Mum, we're not allowed to shecht it, the Mishnah should have said even a bigger Chiddush, if that's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. The Mishnah should have said, La Yalav Yishchem Ebaylei, that we're not allowed to take out the animal before we look at it. And the animal could only be examined as it is laying in the bar. Answers the Gemara, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, when the Mishnah says Yerid Mumcha V'Yira, is coming to teach us that we're not allowed to take it out until it's first examined. What the Mishnah wanted to teach us in the last words was L'tzricha D'Aver V'Askei, that if somebody took out the bor and then took out the bechor and then shows it to Chacham, Salkadatachem Lishchatei, that if the Chacham says it's about Mum, then I should be allowed to shecht it. Kamash Malon, Rabbi Yehuda says that even if you take it out and it turns out not to be about mum, you're not allowed to shecht it. Ask the Mar, if you take it out and it turns out not to be about mum, that you're not allowed to shecht it, obviously you're not allowed to shecht it. For Tamhu, it's a perfectly healthy animal. And as we said in our introductory remarks to today's shir, a bechor, which is a fine animal, you're not allowed to shecht. Answers, the Gemara, L'tzricha D'Nafa Bei Muma. What happened was, after you took it out, And the Chacham looked at it and saw that it's not a Balmum. And then we determined that it became Balmum on Yontif. So even though during the week, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once it becomes a Balmum, we're allowed to shecht it. On Yontif, we're not going to be allowed to shecht this animal. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Im yesh by mum, if the mum was there from before Yontif, then the halach is yal v'yishchoit v'mlav. But if there was no mum there from before Yontif, the mum only developed on Yontif, then you're not allowed to shecht it. Ask the Gemara, of course, if the mum wasn't there from before Yontif, why? Of course you can't shecht it, because then it's muksa. And Rabbi Yehuda certainly subscribes that if the animal was muksa, you shouldn't be allowed to shecht it on Yontif. Says the Gemara, what Rabbi Yehuda means to say is, Ella, the nafal be mum over mirror of Yontif. There was a mum in this animal from before Yontif, but it was a mum over. The hashta, and on Yontif, because the animal fell into the bar, havele mum kavua. It developed into mum kavua. Ma de tema datelevei. Since this animal was somewhat blemished from before Yontif, and therefore the person, the owner of this animal, is already thinking that maybe this animal will be allowed to be slaughtered on Yontif, Kamash Malon, that if it wasn't a mum kavur before Yontif, and the mum only developed on Yontif, then you cannot check that bechor on Yontif according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tana Rabbanan, bechor tam shenafel bar, a healthy bechor that fell into a bar on Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Aimer, Yared mum chavira, a mum chav should go down into the bar and examine it, and see, im yesh by mum, if it has a mum, yal v'yishkat, you could bring it up and shecht it, because it's not considered about mum. Now, Rashi makes the point that when we're learning now in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who's being quoted in this Brisa, is not Rabbi Yehuda that we discussed in our Mishnah. There's Rabbi Yehuda, and there's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who is Rebbe. And Rabbi Yehuda, that's stated typically in the Mishnayos and Shas, is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. And this is the machlokes that we have here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds that a Bechor doesn't have, is not subject to Hilchas Muksa. And the reason that it is not subject to Hilchas Muksa, because the owner of the Bechor is constantly paying attention, maybe it's going to become a Balmum. And the moment it becomes Balmum, I could eat it and shecht it. And therefore he holds it never becomes Muksa. And again, this has nothing to do with Rabbi Yeshua, Rav Shimon, as the Pnei Yeshua explains. We've been saying often that Rav Shimon is the man, the Omer, that's lenient in Hilchas Muksa. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Rav Shimon will agree, and we'll have this in Mitzvah Shem later in our shir, that Grigorus and Smukim, that if somebody has fruits that he put up to dry, that he pushed away by putting them up to dry, Rav Shimon agrees that it's Muksa. And therefore, Rav Shimon may agree that a Bechor is Muksa. This is a unique opinion of Rav Yehuda Nasi. Vimlav, but if there is no mum in the animal, and he brought it up, and then after it developed the mum, lo yishchet. And the reason Rav Yehuda Nasi is saying it may not be slaughtered, now it has a mum, and we just finished explaining that Rav Yehuda Nasi's opinion is that any Bechor that has a mum, there's no problem of Muksa. He's still going to be machmer and now allowed to be shechted because it's a knas. You had no right to bring up a bechor like that from the bar when you didn't know that it had a mum kavua. Amalei Rav Shimon Benasya. Rav Shimon Benasya says, Hare Amru, we learned in previous generations, Ein Roim Mum and B'Yontif, we're never allowed to look at a mum and Yontif, and therefore, under all circumstances, you are not allowed to look at a mum, no matter what the circumstances are, and there's that fundamental problem, says the Gemara. And now, in drilling down, how to understand the opinion Rav Shimon Benasya was saying about the halacha looking or examining or not examining a bechor on Yontif. Ketzad. Noel ben mum erev Yontif, if the mum developed on erev Yontif, so Emir Vakanai Sabi Yontif. You really should not do an examination on Yontif for the various reasons that we gave earlier. Nir Kimasakin, it looks like you're doing a Din Torah. However, if somebody did examine this Bechor on Yontif and it was determined that it's a Balmum, you're allowed to shecht it, b'diyevet. Because really, it was a Balmum already from Erev Yontif. So it's not really that much of an act of Masakin. Noile Balmum b'Yontif. If the mum only developed on Yontif, and the Chacham examined it, and he said it's about mum, Rav Shimon Oimer Ein Zeh Mina Muchen. There's a problem that it's Muksa. Since before Yontif, it was a healthy animal, therefore you are maksedas from it, and the halacha is that such an animal is Muksa, even according to Rav Shimon, who's lenient in Hilchas Muksa. V'shavin, and then says the Braisa, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon agree, Shimnoilad hu umima imai, that if the animal was born on Yontif, the Bechor was born on Yontif, and as it was born, it was born with a mum, shezem and a mucham, that you're allowed to shechter in Yontif. Because it never was in the status of a Bechor that I was maksadas from it, that I decided that I can't use it because it's a balmum, because it's a healthy Bechor, because it never had such a mum. And as we're going to learn, the Rashi mentions that we're speaking about a case that as this Bechor was born, right away that the Wayorim that were there, and right away they determined that it's a Baal Mum, so it was never in the category of a Bechor that it should become Muksa. Of course, the question is, even if it was in the category that it was Muksa, but isn't there a cruel a Muksa L'chatzi Shabbos? And if it only became Muksa on Shabbos, because it was only born on Shabbos or Yontif, is why would it be Muksa if the Rabbanim then say it was a Baal Mum? Don't we have a rule, a Muksa L'chatzi Shabbos? So some say because of that, you don't have to have the Dayanim are there. Others explain, going back to what we've been learning all along, that the issue here is not just an issue of Muksa. The issue here is also an issue of Misakin. So if it was declared immediately on birth that it's about Mum, so there's no Misakin here. It was always about Mum. You haven't changed its status in any way. But if it was not immediately declared about Mum, and now you want to change its status, that would be Misakin, even if we could avoid the problem of Muksa because Ein Muksa L'chatzi Shabbos. Dar Shav Barav Huna, Noilad Hu Umum Emay, if an animal was born on Yontav with its Mum, V'akamay Sub Yontav L'chatchila. So the halacha is that we could examine this animal upon birth. And it's not an issue of a Din Torah or Misakin. Amalei Rav Nachman, Abba Tani, my father, when he taught us this braisa, said, Avo Bikram Mevokra. What he meant to say was, if the animal was born on Yontif, if the Bechor was born on Yontif, and as soon as it was born with a Mum, the Eved, if it was examined, and the Chacham said it's about Mum, you're allowed to shecht it. Now, he says, you're expanding that. You're not saying that it's only a B'dievid. V'at Amrit Mevakim Asa L'chatchila, and you're saying that one may look at it L'chatchila. Says the Gemara, Amra Raya Kavosei the Rabbi Rafuna Mistabra, that Yulatul Chatchila examine a Bechor that's born on Yontav with a Mum. Minik Tani, because we learned in the Braisa that Rav Shimon Menashe mentioned, Tlos Abavi. And the Braisa mentioned three cases. One was Noel by Mum of Erev Yontav, that if the Mum was there from Erev Yontav, we learned Eim of Akanoi Sebi Yontav, it should not be examined. And that's where we learned, L'chatchilu Udaloi, L'chatchilu should not be examined on Yontav, Hadiyevid, but Bidiyevid, if it was examined on Yontav, Shapadami, it's fine. Noel by Mum by Yontav, if it was born with a Mum on Yontav, Rashimen Aimer Ein Zemen Amuchen. Ein Zemen Amuchen means that Fil Diyevid Namiloi, that even Bidiyevid, you can't examine it because it's Muksa. For Hadatani, that's the second case. And the third case was Shem Nolad and Mumay Imay, that it was born with a Mum. Shazaman Amuchim, that there's no Muksa problem. Isn't that indicating the L'chatchila Nami? And the way to understand the Gemara is if in this case, also the halacha would be that it's only B'di'evid allowed to be looked at, but not L'chatchila. So then this case, and the first case of the three cases that were mentioned, and the last case of the three cases that were mentioned, should have been taught together. And we should have been taught, Noila ba Mum Erev Yontav, Oy Shin Noila ba Yontav U Mumma Imay, Eim of Akron Oy Soy Mi Yontav, and we would learn the L'chatchila, we're not supposed to examine it, but by the Eved, if we examined it, it's fine. The fact that the Tana separated them into three cases indicates that each case has its own unique halacha. And in the first case where the Mum was there from before Yontav, that's where the halacha is, the L'chatchila should not be examined, but B'dievet it's fine. But in the last case, when it was born with the Mum, it's even L'chatchila allowed to be examined, not like Rav Nachman who said that it's only B'dievet allowed to be examined. Ask the Gemara, V'kios Rabbeisha, when Rabbi Yishe came from Nador, Osav Aisim Asnisim B'yod, he came with the following braisa, Ben Shnoil by Mumma Erev Yontav, whether the Mum was there from before Yontav, or Ben Shnoil by Mumma Be Yontav, or whether the Mum was developed in Yontav, Chom Eimer Ein Zemen Amuchem. The Chom hold it's not, that it's Muksa. Here we see that they connected, that they put into one group. This seems that if the Eved you examined it, you're not, it's not going to be acceptable. So we could say that Noilet Uhu Umnumen Imoy is only B'dievid. And in the first case, the reason it's not mentioned with the first case, because in the first case, even B'dievid, it may not be, look, it's not good. Ask the Gemara, Elakasha Hach, from the first braisa that we learned, the braisa going from Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, it seems that if the Bechor was born with a mum, it may be looked at l'chatchila. Answers the Gemara, Hahi Adabar Uchma. That braisa was taught by Adabar Uchma, the Meshabesh V'tani. He would not, they learned everything about Peh. And he says that many times he corrupted the proper girsa of the braisas. From our Mishnah, we also can learn that if the mum was there from before Yontif, even b'di'evid, if it was examined on Yontif, it may not be eaten. Diktani, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon, if it wasn't identified as about mum from before Yontif, it's considered muktzah. What does that mean? Ask the Gemara, what did the Mishnah mean where he's saying ein mumen nuker? Ilay mish ein mumen nuker klal, that had no mum at all. Pshita. Of course, tzrich lemeimer, if you have an animal that's a bechor, that has absolutely no reason for us to assume that it's a bal mum, of course such an animal may not be eaten. Elo, d'leschazi l'chochem. What happened here was that it had a mum in Erev Yontif, but they never got around to showing that animal to the mumcha before Erev Yontif, before Yontif. Im kavua mum over, that he should make the determination if what type of a mum it is. And ketonimius, yet the Mishnah said, if I didn't show the animal to the chacham before Yontif, even though I have a question on this animal, and it has a mum, it just didn't have the chance to show it to the chacham, the Mishnah said there, Shimon holds, ein zemen amuchem. And the words ein zemen amuchem indicate that even b'di'evid, I'm not allowed to eat. Shema mino, so from here we see in that case, b'di'evid, even if it was examined, it may not be eaten. And noilad mumay imoy is going to be a case where l'chatchila, as Rav Nachman said, it should not be examined. But b'di'evid, if it was examined, it could be eaten. But not like what Rabbi Baruch Huna said, that l'chatchila noilad hu umumay imoy, you're allowed to examine it on Yontif. The Gemara Masech to Shabbos, as we've been speaking, even though it says that even daf mem hey omer aleph, that even though Rav Shimon, as we keep on repeating, is the man d'omer that's lenient in Hilchas Muksa. But one of the examples that he agrees is certainly is Muksa, is what's known as Groigrus Tzmukim. Groigrus Tzmukim are grapes, figs, that were taken up to the roof for drying. Because those types of fruits, once they begin drying, they're not edible. And by putting them up there, what it's called is dach yibidayim. You have pushed it away with no intention to eat it. And therefore the halacha is that even though in the middle of Shabbos they became edible, they're still muksa. Because we know the halacha is migadis katzoyle ben hashmashis katzoyle kula yoyma. Since they were muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, the defining moment of determining if something is muksa or not is ben hashmashis. Since these groigers and smukim were muksa ben hashmashis, is katzoyle kula yoyma, they remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos. Says the Gemara Baimenei, Hel Merava. Yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, something that became muksa in the middle of Shabbos. Does it have the category of muksa or a muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, or it doesn't become muksa if it wasn't muksa at the beginning of Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, let's try to understand what is the case that you're speaking about. Hechi domi, idi hachsi ben hashmashos, that means you had these groigers of smukim. They were perfectly edible before Shabbos. Ichsi, so then they're not muksa. Vi lo ichsi, and if they weren't edible before Shabbos, lo ichsi, we said if they're not edible at the beginning of Shabbos, they remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, lo tzricha, what happened over here was, the ichsi, the ben hashmashos, they were edible. Vada itchi, and Shabbos started to rain, and because they were outside, and they were rained upon, they made them inedible. And then the sun came out and dried them, and they became edible again. Mai, do we say that since at a certain period on Shabbos they became muksa, they remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos? Or do we say that since at the beginning of Shabbos they weren't muksa, so certainly while they were not edible, they're muksa. But once they become edible again, they are no longer muksa. Amalei, so Rava responded, yesh muksa. Since they were muksa at a certain point of Shabbos, it becomes muksa for the duration of Shabbos. Says the Meiri that even though we're learning this mandama holds yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, and if it became muksa at a certain point during Shabbos, it remains muksa for the entire Shabbos. Says the Meiri that's only muksa l'achila. And the Meiri makes a point that we've discussed in previous shurim. When it comes to hilchas muksa, the Chazal were stricter regarding achila than they were regarding tiltal. And therefore, he says when Rav is saying here yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, he only means that it's muksa as far as achila, that you would not be allowed to eat them for the rest of Shabbos, but you would be allowed to be metal to them. You would allowed to be moved them. Eisvei. So the Gemara asks, v'shavin. We just learned in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that if the animal was born together on Yontif together with its mum, Shimuna Mucham, that it's not muksa. So we see Amai. Neima, Hai Bechor, this animal, this Bechor that was born on Yontif, Mikara, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was part of its mother, and since it was part of its mother, the halacha is if you would shech the mother, you would be allowed to eat the baby you find in it. So then it was a muksa. Then it's yadalei, when it was born, so the moment the bechor is born, it gets a kedushas bechor, and itchilei, and you may not eat it because it's a bechor. Then, achsi l'chacham, when the Chacham looks at it and determines that it has a mum, ishtrulei. So isn't this a case that it became disqualified at a certain point during Yontif? Yet we're learning that even though it was disqualified at a certain point, it doesn't remain muksa for the duration of Yontif. Answers the Gemara. Omar Abai v'temer of Safran, kigoy deyas v'dayonah hasam. As we explained earlier, the case here is that the dayonim were there the moment it was born. And since the dayonim were there the moment it was born, it never was in a category that it was muksa and then no longer muksa. It was always not muksa. Ikadamri, but there's another version. The Rava said, and if it was edible and it was not muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, even though during Shabbos at a certain point it became muksa, it doesn't. If that changes, it doesn't become muksa. It doesn't remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos. And the Gemara says, "Lema Masayle." Now what was before Akasha, now the Gemara wants to use as a brice, as a raya. V'shavim, because we learned in the Braisa, that Yehuda and Shimon agree, Shimnoilet umumay imay, if a Bachar was born in Yontav as a Ba'mum, Shazemina Mumcha. Ask the Gemara, as we just learned, V'abachar, this Bachar, Mikara Havalei Agav imay, as Yontav began, when it was still in its mother's womb, it was a muksa, because you allowed to shech the mother on Yontav, and anything found in it becomes mutter together with it, Midraisa. It's Yalalei, when it's born, Itchalei, it becomes muksa. Achsi l'chachem, because it's born, it's a bechor, which is muksa. Then, achsi l'chachem, then it's shown to the chachem, ishtrulei, it becomes mutter. So we see, a muksa l'chachem chatzi Shabbos. Amra bai v'tem rav safra, no. It's talking about Kigoyin Diyas with Dayanim Hossam. The Dayanim were there as the Bukhar was coming out, and it right away was determined to be about Mum, so it wasn't ever Muksa even for a moment, and therefore we have no Raya from that case. Toshma, so the Gemara again is trying to examine what is the halacha about Muksa L'chatzi Shabbos. Toshma, Hay Eichel Ben Novim. Somebody was eating grapes before Shabbos. For Heiser, and he has leftover grapes. For Helam Lagag, he took him up to the roof, Lasam and Smukim, to make raisins out of them. Betainim, for Heiser, Helam Lagag, Lasam and Gregris. He's eating these tainim, he has leftover, and he takes them up to use to have the remainder become dried. Lo Yechonem Achi Yasmin Bajoim. The loch is that if you took him up, they become muksa, and the only way you could prevent them from being muksa is by specifically saying, I intend to eat from those fruits on Shabbos Yontif. They came at the mikes of Afrasim, the Chavushim, the same as by peaches and quince, Bashar, Komine, Paris, all types of fruit. The halacha is that The halacha is that they become muksa unless I specifically said that I'm going to eat them on Yontif. It's interesting to point out that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos Daf Mem Hei says that this brisa is following the opinion of Yehuda that follows that has a broader, as we keep on repeating, has a broader application of Hilchos Muksa. According to Rav Shimon, only Grigris and Tzmukim are muksa because Grigris and Tzmukim have two reasons to be muksa. One is you were matchais and be a dying. You took them up to the roof, and that shows that you're treating them as muksa. And the other reason why Grigris and Tzmukim are stricter are because Grigris and Tzmukim, while they're drying, are not edible. All other fruits, even if you took them up to dry, while they're undergoing the drying process, they're edible. And therefore, in those other types of fruits, Rav Shimon would not agree that they're muksa. Now, ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what are we speaking about here? Idechazu, if they're edible, lamele azmana. Of course, any food is not muksa. Vi de loichazu, and if they're not edible, ki azman loy mayhava. What will saying hazmana help? They're not edible. And if they're not edible and they aren't on the roof, how are we preventing them from being muksa? V'chitemi, if you're going to suggest that the Brice is speaking about a case, the layada ichazu iloy chazu. I'm not quite sure. Ask the Gemara, v'omravkana muksa shiyovish, if you have groigers and smukim that are dried, v'enibay b'elim akirimba, and you don't know that they're edible, the loch is mutter. It doesn't make a difference if you know. So if they're edible, they're of course not muksa. El laf, the case must be what we're talking about. The chazu, that as Shabbos began, they were edible, and they weren't muksa. Then itchu on Shabbos, like we mentioned before, it rained, and they became inedible, and that's why they're muksa. V'hada ichsu, and then they became edible. And the only reason why they're not muksa is because I made hazmana. But ask the Gemara, if we're paskening, a muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, lamlu hazmana. If it wasn't muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, it's not muksa. Elamai, Yesh muksa. So what are you saying, that this should be a rider, yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, but then on the contrary, ki azman lehu, may have it. What would hazmana help? Hazmana can't make something which is muksa not be muksa. Says the Gemara, l'tzricha d'chazi v'lo yachsu. They became edible somewhat before Shabbos. D'ikinchi d'echli, v'ikinchi d'lo yachli. Some people would eat such a fruit, and some people would not. So now, azman, if you made hazmona on it, so golly dati, you're showing that you're from the people that eat the fruit in such a state. And that's why it's not muksa. Loy azman, but if you didn't make hazmona, loy gali dati, and we have to therefore be machmer that it's muksa. Even though muksa is a drabbanon, but all the Rishonim point out, the Rishonim and Achronim say that muksa is a very serious halacha. And since it's a very serious halacha, even though it's a drabbanon, we have to be machmer. Particularly, they also add a concept that we discussed at the beginning of a masechta, and that's the concept of davar sheyesh matirin. Muksa is only a concern on Shabbos and Yontif. After Shabbos, after Yontif, muksa will no longer be a concern, and therefore we have to be machmer. So says the Gemara Amar Bzeir Tashma. Again, we're trying to determine what is the halacha: yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos or ein muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Tashma pulim v'dashin. Somebody who cooks, they used to cook these beans. The pulim v'dashin bikara at before when they're still raw, chazi l'kos, they're edible raw. The shadina bikara when they're put into the pot, itchlu, because as long as they're boiling in the pot, they're not edible. Government b'shulei, and then when they're cooked, chazulei. So we see that even though at a certain point in Shabbos they were inedible, and since they were inedible, they should be considered muksa. We don't consider it muksa. Amalei u'tameich. According to your line of reasoning, tikshla kederes d'alma, anything that's cooked. Dostam kederes d'alma, bein ha-shmashes, at the beginning of Shabbos, rois l'schein, everything is boiling. L'orta, in the evening, achlim anayu, we eat from them. But let's think about it. The food that's so boiling at the point of banish mushes is inedible. So why it doesn't become muksa? What's the answer? Algarim de Adam, loikami boilon. If something that is cooked and I can control, it's hot and then cold and then hot and then not edible and then edible, or the beans, that I'm boiling them and then they become edible, that's not a shaila, that's not muksa. Ki kama boilon, our entire discussion is gomer b'dei shemayim, where it's not in my control. The grigers at smukim, where the grigers at smukim were put up in the on the roof, and they're edible, and then they become inedible because the rain fell on it. And the only reason they become edible is because the sun comes out. Now we don't and dries it. Now obviously we don't control the sun drying, and still the halach, and that's where maybe we would say meis mukso. That's where there's a question: yesh mukso ein mukso l'chatzis Shabbos, and the halach is ein mukso l'chatzis Shabbos. But it's very important to point out when we say ein mukso l'chatzis Shabbos, what does that mean? What that means is, let's say you have a table, and your table at the beginning Shabbos has nothing mukso on it, so your table's not mukso, and you can move your table. Then on Shabbos, somehow something muksa was put on the table. As long as that muksa item is on the table, even though it was only put on middle of Shabbos, you would not be allowed to move the table. The only time you can move the table is if somehow on Shabbos that muksa item that only was put on the table on Shabbos Yontif was removed. And Yontif, it's very understandable. Let's say at the beginning of Yontif, you didn't have your candelabra on the table. So your table is now muksa. Then on Yontif, you put your candelabra on the table with candles lit on it, it becomes muksa. Then, and you can't move it, even though it became muksa during Shabbos, during Yontif. Then when it goes out, we say, a muksa l'chatzis Shabbos. The Yerushalmi, the Beis Yosef quotes a Yerushalmi that speaks about peiros that were taken up to be dried, and the owner doesn't know if they are dried or not. And they are actually dried and edible, the halacha is that the muksa. But the Beis Yosef says that from our sugya, it's very clear that if the fruits are edible, just the owner doesn't know about it, the halacha is that it's not muksa. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Shin Yud Sif Dalet paskins. Not as a machloikis that the B'Sam and Rosh quotes that if you had a food that you thought became not kosher before Yontif, before Shabbos, and then it turns out that it was kosher. What's the status of that food? Is the food muksa or not? So the Prima Gadim says it's not the same as the case where I didn't know the fruit is edible. He says there's a very big difference. Fruit that's put up on the roof that I didn't know became edible, that I didn't know became edible as Shabbos or Yontif began, I do know eventually it's going to become edible. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that just because I didn't know doesn't mean that it's muksa. Because the reality is that it was edible at Bein HaShemashos. However, says the Prima Gadim, in a situation where I thought that the food was not kosher, and since I thought that the food was not kosher, I didn't think it will ever be able to be eaten. And then on Shabbos, the Rav, or however I discover, knows that it's kosher. That's much worse than Groigers and Smukim. And therefore, since it's much worse than Groigers and Smukim, it could be everybody would agree that it's muksa. The Mishnah Berurah discusses a case that if you had clothing that were wet by Bein HaShemashos, then they're muksa, and they're muksa for the duration of Shabbos. But if I didn't know that they're going to dry on Shabbos, and then they do end up drying on Shabbos, so says the Mishnah Berurah, clothing will eventually dry. And since it's something that's eventually going to dry, that can't be compared to something that I think is not kosher. And therefore, if it ends up drying, the halacha is that it's considered that it's not muksa, even though at the beginning of Shabbos it was muksa.